All right, well, why don't you just go ahead and open up to Psalms chapter 19, where we just sang from. I did not know Brother Shane was going to sing that scripture song, and he did not know that I had that passage in my message, but we were going to go there. Yeah. Psalms chapter 19, we'll get there in just a minute. So we, again, on Sunday nights, we've been going through a series on developing a biblical worldview and just how important it is. We've looked at, you know, just different things, even a couple weeks ago, just dangers in education, not just talking about public education, but any type of education, making sure that it has a biblical foundation, making sure that it's following what the Word of God teaches and things. So we've been just learning how to develop a biblical worldview. But tonight, I think probably one of the greatest things we can do in giving our children, giving our young people a good, solid foundation is helping them to develop a love for the Word of God. If a young person, a child, teenager, young adult, middle-aged, older person, if we don't have a love for the Word of God, we're really not going to, we're not going to have a biblical worldview, right? I mean, we might use the Bible in some areas, but we're really not going to have a biblical worldview and see things the way God wants us to see them, okay? I want you to open up Psalms 19. We just sang basically these exact words, these exact verses we're going to look at here. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Right? So look at what he's saying here. The law of the Lord is perfect. Because the law of the Lord is perfect, what's it do? It's able to convert the soul. Right? The testimony of the Lord is sure. What's it do? Makes wise the simple. When you follow the Word of God, the world might think you're foolish, but God says that's wisdom. Right? It makes wise the simple. In verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. And when we understand that the statutes of the Lord are right and we follow them, it rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, right? When we understand that God's word is pure, God's way is always right, what's it do? It enlightens the eyes, enlightening the eyes, right? I mean, he's showing us how important the word of God is. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And watch what he says in verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Again, the psalmist says the words of God are more important than the finest, the purest gold you can ever find. Man puts a high value on gold. God puts a greater value on his word than anything else. His word is so important, right? Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. He says, through the word of God, we are warned of things. God gives us certain warnings. God gives us certain areas where he says, hey, you need to be careful about this. Be careful about this. Watch this. And he says, and in keeping of them there is great reward. God says there is benefit, there is reward in following the things of God and following the word of God, right? We understand 2 Timothy 3:16, when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable for these things, right? The word of God is profitable for these things, okay? And so this is what the psalmist is saying here, right? The word of God is so vital. These things are so important, and as a Christian, we need to develop a love for the Word of God. Think about this, Job 23, verse number 12. Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job says, the words of God are more important than physical food, okay? And all throughout Scripture, you can go all the way through Scripture, and you can see how God views His Word. It's so important. It's so vital, right? A young person, a child, a teenager, their view of the Bible, their view of the Word of God will shape their views about life. It will. It's going to shape their views about life. And if we can help them develop sound doctrinal beliefs, it's going to lead them to a biblical worldview, which will result in wise choices and righteous living. That's exactly what we just read here, right? Exactly what we just read here in Psalms 19, right? Again, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. As we help them develop a biblical doctrine, we help them have a love for the Word of God, it's going to lead to a biblical worldview, which will help lead them to make wise choices based upon the Word of God, not upon the wisdom of the world. It will help them to live righteously in a way that is pleasing to God. And unfortunately, a lot of kids, what we would call Christian kids, are being brought to church. They're being brought to church, but they are not being taught to develop a love for the Bible. Now, let me just say this. It's great to bring your kids to church, and I'm so thankful that God has blessed us with so many young families. From the nursery all the way up, through high school and college-age young people and young adults. God has blessed us in a great way. But look, if we're just bringing our kids to church and we're thinking that somehow at church they're going to figure out what the Bible teaches, or at church somehow they're going to develop a love for the Word of God, can I tell you, parents, you're mistaken. It doesn't begin here, okay? If you're not teaching them to develop a love for the Word of God in the home, they're not going to develop a love for the Word of God. Just because their Sunday school teacher loves the Word of God, or just because the pastor loves the Word of God, if you're not teaching them to develop a love for the Word of God, they're not going to have a love for the Word of God, because they're simply going to be following what the parents are doing. If they're going to develop a love for the Bible, they need to develop a high view of the Bible. I think, unfortunately, what has happened, because we have such easy access to this book, we don't have a high view of this book anymore. We really don't. We don't have a high view of the Word of God. We almost treat it just like it's any other book. Just another book to put on the bookshelf, take it down whenever we want to read it, put it back up, leave it for a while, go back to it when we think about it. We don't really have a high view of the Word of God. If I were to ask some of you what certain statistics are of sports teams, some of you would be able to rattle them off, right? This person's batting this percentage. This person's, caught so many touchdowns. This person scored so many goals. I mean, you'd be able to rattle things off. If I were to ask you about some type of gun, you could tell me about a 12 gauge. You could tell me about a 380. You could tell me about a 9mm. You could tell me about all these different guns. You could tell me the right gun, the right ammo. You could tell me all these different things, right? If I was to ask you ladies about some recipes, you'd be like, oh yeah, this is the recipe for this and this is the recipe for that, right? We value the things that are important to us. So then why is it so many Christians, when you ask them about the Word of God, they're like, well, I don't know that very well. Why is it that we know a lot of things about life in general, which again is important to know, but we feel like we don't know much about the Bible? I mean, so many times the excuse I've heard from many people, well, I don't think I could share the gospel with somebody because I don't know where those verses are. I don't know what the Bible says about this. Have we put such a low view of the Word of God that it's not important to us? It's not valuable to us? And can I say, because it's not valuable to mom and dad, it's not valuable to grandma and grandpa, guess what that shows our children and our teenagers? It's not important. It's not valuable, right? It's not important. And so this is why it's so important to help them to develop a love for the Word of God. You understand, the Bible is never obsolete. It's never outdated. It doesn't get outdated. It doesn't get obsolete, right? But if we teach our Bible, or if we teach our children that the Bible is only for certain periods of time, it's only for a certain period of time. It was only for the Jews back in that day. It's only for the apostles back in that day. It was only for the early church. If we teach them that the Bible is only for a certain period of time, or if we teach them that it's only for certain issues of life, well, the Bible's important for salvation, but it's not really important about marriage. The Bible's important about souls, but it's not really important about your job. You see, if we only teach them that it's important about certain topics and certain issues of life, they're never going to look to it. They're never going to go to the Word of God. We must teach them that the Word of God is for every generation. We must teach them it's for every issue of life. We have to help them to develop a love for the Bible. Okay? So we're going to get just kind of practical this evening for a couple of minutes. How do we do that? How do we teach our children to develop a love for the Bible? Okay, for having a love for the Bible. But what does that mean? What does that mean to have a love for the Bible? Read it, okay? There's one way. I wonder how many young people, and please do not raise your hand, please do not. Raise your hands. I will kill you if you raise your hands. And then your parents will kill you after that, all right? But I wonder if I were to ask tonight, how many children have never seen their parents read the Bible? I wonder how many hands would be raised in a Bible-believing Baptist church. I hope that's not true in your house. But if it is, can I ask, how are they going to know that you love the Bible if they never see you read the Bible? You tell them you love it, but they never see you with it, right? We need to read it, we need to read it, let them see it, but we ought to be reading it together as a family. You ought to read the Word of God together, right? Mom and dad, the kids, get together, read the Bible together. We do that in our home. We try to do it every day. We don't always do it every day, but we try. We try to get together, read the Bible together. And I'm not just talking about Malachi. I'm talking about all my kids, my grown kids. We sit together in the living room and read the Bible together. What are some other ways? How do we help them to develop a love for the Bible? Other than read it. We've got read it, right? What else do we need to do? How else? What else can we do to help them develop a love for the Bible? Jake? Discuss it. You want to elaborate? Yeah. As you're reading through it, what does this verse mean? How does it apply? How does it apply to life? Right? We may not be going through that situation right now, but how does this apply to life? What do we do with this? Right? So not just reading it, but then talking about it together. Now, here's one of the reasons why I believe that many parents are afraid to read the Bible with their children. Because they're afraid their children will ask a question that they can't answer. Can I tell you something? It's okay not to know the answer to a question. Don't let that be an issue of why you don't read the Bible together. Well, if my kids ask me a question and I don't know the answer, I don't want to look like a fool. Can I say this very kindly? As a Christian who says you love the Lord and you say you love the Bible, can I say you almost look more of a fool by not reading the Bible with them, by not knowing the answer to a question? It's okay if you don't know the answer to the question. And you tell them, you know, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. So then what do? We find it. We study it, right? That's a great opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I don't know the answer to this. We're going to study it out. I want you to study it. I want you to look at it. I'm going to look at it. And in a couple days, we're going to come back to this verse, and we're going to talk about it and see what we found out about it. What is that helping your children understand? You don't have all the answers, but you're going to find it in the Word of God. You're going to find it there, right? So we're reading it, right? We're discussing it. What else? You know, we're just talking about some practical things. Yeah. Yeah, do Bible trivia, right? You know, they even sell Bible trivia games. You know, you can get cards, you know, that have, actually, you don't even have to do that. You can just do it on, you can do a Google search for Bible trivia questions. They'll come up, right? I will have to say, some of them are not always 100% accurate, okay? So you better check, make sure what the answers are, right? You know, yeah, do Bible trivia. You know, again, as you've been reading through different Bible stories and accounts and things like this, you know, refresh. What are these things, you know? All right, something else. Memorize it. You've heard me say this a lot. It's great that these kids get up here and memorize it. But parents, when's the last time you memorized a verse? Grandparents, you thought you were going to get out of it, didn't you? Yeah. Grandparents, when's the last time you memorized a verse? You say, "Oh, I'm too old for this. That's for the kids." Wait a minute. Are we teaching them to have a love for the Word of God? I guarantee, if you have a love for the Word of God, you may not be able to memorize a verse every week like they do. You know, some of them, I don't know how they do it. They have a verse for like Sunday school. They have a verse for Super Church. They have a verse for Master Club, right? And then some of them that do, you know, Christian homeschooling, they have a verse for that. They memorize like 4 or 5 verses a week. Maybe you get one a month, right? But at least you're working to memorize the Word of God. How important is it, right? How important is God's Word to us, right? Memorizing it. Again, it may not be one every week, but we ought to be memorizing it. Letting our children, our grandchildren see that we're working to memorize scriptures, where we're hiding God's Word in our heart, right? What else? Leanna? Yeah, send them to Christian events. Activities, right? Whether it's a Christian camp or Christian activities or different things like that, right? You're helping them to see that those are things that are more important than just fun and games. Again, fun and games are good too, but if there's a Christian basis around it, there's going to be preaching about the Word of God, there's going to be teaching about the Bible, right? That's an important thing, okay? Somebody else, right? Jay? Yeah, I think this is one of the greatest ways that we can teach our children to have a love for the Word of God, and we fail in so many areas like this, right? When we're going through an issue, we're going through a problem or something like this, or we hear something on the radio, or we hear something on TV, or we see something on TV, or our children say something because a friend said something, you say, whoa, wait a second, hold on, what did you just say? What did you just say about, what did they just say? They were just talking on the news about this, about you know, these people that are anti-Israel. Well, what does the Bible say about being anti-Israel? Or you were just talking about the news of how they're trying to pass a law of about the family is can now be a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Well, what does the Bible say about this? You see, what are we doing? We're taking them back and helping them to understand that the Bible has the answers, right? We're not just giving, well, you know, that's just wrong. Okay, why? Why is it wrong? Why don't we do that? Why don't we follow that, right? And we're using life to help teach them the Bible. Again, that's exactly what he says back in Deuteronomy. He says, when thou risest up, when thou liest down, when thou walkest in the way, all you're doing is going through, you're teaching them about the Word of God, right? And so we have to use these things to help to implement and to help teach our children a love for the Word of God. But here's the thing, before we can ever teach them to have a love for the Word of God, The parents, grandparents, have to have a love for the Word of God first. We have to have a love for the Word of God, right? If we don't have a love for the Word of God, then it's going to be very obvious to the children that they don't have a love for the Word of God as well. And they're not going to, right? This is what he says in Psalms 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God says every answer that we need, God has given to us. Every answer. Now, it may not be spelled out, thou shalt not do this, okay? I get that, right? But the answers that we need for all of the decisions that we need to make in life, he's given to us. And he says they are for every generation, right? That the Bible never is obsolete. The Bible never gets, it never is for just a specific generation. God has given us his word for all generations, right? Again, that's why the Bible is such a unique book. Because it's not just for one specific period of time. It's for all men, all time. Can I tell you something? Only God could give us a book like that. Only God could give us a book like that. Man can't do that. Man can't give us a book that's right for 50 years, because in 50 years they find out something new and they got to change it. But God has given us a book that has been absolutely perfect for all time and is perfect. And this is why he says it is for every generation. No other book comes close to its wisdom. No other book comes close to its accuracy. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. God says, you want wisdom? You want wisdom in knowing how to deal with life? You want wisdom in knowing how to deal with situations? It's right here. It's in his book. It's in his word. As you follow him, as you learn to fear him, think about this, right? The best laws that we have in our nation and other nations come from the Bible, come from God, right? God has given us these things like not stealing. It's a good law, don't you think? Right? How about having just weights? You understand what that means? A just weight, you know, in the old times they would have a scale and they would balance things, right? And he says, hey, don't say that this is 1 pound when it's really only, you know, 14 ounces. He said it needs to be just. You don't be deceitful. You need to be accurate, be right, be just, right? Why? He says you're not trying to cheat people. That's not who you need to be. Treating others the way that you want to be treated. Not committing murder. I mean, there's so many of the laws that we have in our land and many other lands come from the Word of God. They come from God himself. What about the standards of marriage? The responsibility of each member of the home, these all come from the Bible. They come from God. And so many times as Christians, we kind of pick and choose when we want to go to the Bible, right? We pick and choose. Well, on this topic, we'll go to the Bible, but this topic, we're not going to go to the Bible. Why not take every topic to the Bible? Why not take every issue to the Bible? Again, that's the only way you're going to teach your children to love the Word of God, if they see that, man, every answer comes from God. God has given us the answer to every issue, every problem that we have in life. We've just got to get into the Word of God. We've got to study it. It's interesting, despite its worth, and really it's of such value, and this is what these men are saying about it's more than my necessary food. And even Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. The value of it is so great. But there is a battle that exists over the Word of God today. Many people try to say it's not trustworthy, it's not true, it has errors. Does it really have the authority to tell us how we're to live our lives? It's interesting, there was an atheist professor named Richard Rorty, and he shows us that they are absolutely trying to destroy the faith of Christian students in colleges. And this is what he said. We are going to go right on trying to discredit you in the eyes of your children, trying to strip your fundamentalist religious community of dignity, trying to make your views seem silly rather than discussable. He said, professors arrange things so that the students who enter as, and this is what he says, bigoted, homophobic, religious fundamentalists will leave college with views more like our own. Again, the world hates God. The world hates the Bible. And they're going to do everything they can to try to turn people away from the Word of God. And if young people don't have a good, solid foundation, when they get out into the world, when they get out into jobs and colleges and things like this, the world's going to do everything they can to tear them apart, to discredit the Bible, to discredit those things. And that's why it's so important that we give them a good foundation. Every person will look to an authority to determine truth. Every person, right? I'm amused that many times when I hear a young person and you say, I'm just tired of the authority in my home. I'm tired of my mom and dad telling me what I'm going to do. And what do? They go join the Marines. Or they join the Army. Or they join the Navy. Or the Air Force, right? Or something like that. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Wake up, Susie, right? It's going to be a whole lot different than what you thought it was going to be, right? I mean, every one of us is going to have some authority in our life at some point, right? There is never an absence of authority. But the authority that a child chooses will determine how they live. And again, authority is not a popular concept. You know, we like to have authority, but we don't like to be under authority. I want to tell you what to do, but don't you ever think that you should be able to tell me what to do. Let me tell you your problems, but don't you ever think that I have any problems you can talk about, right? We like to have authority, we just don't like to be under authority. And we naturally rebel against God. And again, that's natural because we are born spiritually dead. He tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, that we are spiritually dead. We are born spiritually dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, right? We were born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We were rebelled against God. But once we became a child of God, we must understand that God has given us his word to be the authority in our lives. The word of God is not just to bring us to salvation. Now we thank God that that's part of it, right? We thank God that we can find salvation in his word and we know how to be saved. But that's not where it stops. The word of God has to be the authority in every aspect and every area of our life. And as Christians, we don't like that. Let's be honest, we just don't like it. Because we want to be able to do what we want to do. We don't want God telling us what to do. That's why we don't have a love for the Word of God like we should. That's why we don't get in and study the Word of God and memorize the Word of God. Because we want to do what we want to do. And we don't want even God telling us what we should do. It's one thing to have a Bible. It's another thing to read the Bible. But the most important thing is to live the Bible. Just because you have a Bible doesn't mean anything. Just because you read the Bible doesn't mean anything. But are you willing to live it out? Are you willing to live the Word of God out in your life? And again, unfortunately, many young people believe the lie that freedom comes from an absence of authority. So they're just going to be their own authority. But just living life just a little will enable you to realize that there is never the absence of authority. True freedom is found by submitting to God's authority and living within his boundaries, living within what God has for us. I want to give you three things very quickly tonight that are the biggest enemies to the authority of Scripture. Three things that are the biggest enemies to the authority of Scripture. We're just going to go through this very quickly, right? Because I think these are three things that we can see in our society today. I think we can see this in every society. But if we're not careful, we can allow these things to usurp God's authority in our lives, right? Ready for number one? What would you think number one would be? And again, I'm not saying this is in any specific order. What would you say would be one of the biggest enemies, we could say, to the authority of Scripture? Anybody want to take a guess? What's that? Hollywood, right? That's pretty good. Hollywood, right? our own opinion, right? What was that? Media, right? Satan, that's for sure, right? Let me give you a couple things. Here's number one, science. Science, one of the biggest enemies to the authority of Scripture. Now, please understand what I'm saying here. The world has convinced Christians that the Bible is just a book of fairy tales. They said the Bible is just a book of fairy tales. It's outdated, it's superstitious, it's an unscientific book. And what's really sad is that even many religious leaders are following this view. Many of you know a man, pastors a very large church. You've probably heard his name before, down in near Atlanta, Georgia area. His father was a great preacher. I don't know where this young man or this man strayed off, but Andy Stanley, many of you have heard of, he said this: when religion and science conflict, at the end of the day, if you're an honest person, science must win. That's a pastor of a church that has thousands and thousands of people. Can I tell you, that's exactly what the world is saying. Follow science, don't listen to the Bible. Follow science, don't listen to the Bible, right? Wrong. Big time wrong. He's wrong, right? The Bible always trumps science. The Bible always trumps science because the Bible is the Word of God. You ever heard someone say, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but you can't deny science? Ever heard anybody say that, right? If we actually stop and think about it, it's absurd to think that science knows more than God. That science knows more than God. The word science, anybody know what the word science actually means? Anybody? It's a good guess, no? The word science means knowledge. I think we just read a verse, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge, right? Again, science is simply a means to learn about the world that God created. That's what science is there for. Yeah, it's the Bible is not a science book. It's not. This book is not a science book. That's not what it's there for, right? But it does contain foundational truth about biology, history, geology, anthropology, astronomy. It has all of those different things, right? And so the laws of science even exist today because God created an orderly world. You cannot have science without God creating the way that he did, right? Everything points to a creator God. Now, there's a lot of things that science tries to push as fact. It's not fact, right? Most of what science tries to push today is theory. It cannot be proven, okay? And so we have to be careful that we don't allow science to overrule the Word of God, because that's exactly what the world is trying to do. They're trying to say, well, you can't deny science because when you look at this, you know, the world is millions and millions and millions of years old, and we can tell that we came from monkeys. You may have came from a monkey, but I didn't. It's not millions and millions of years old. You say, well, how can you know? Because God said it. How do you know you didn't come from a monkey? Because God said it. God said it. And this is why we cannot allow science to be an enemy of the authority of Scripture. Just because somebody publishes something in Science Journal or some other thing, oh, now we've got to follow science. No. Does it go contrary to the Word of God? Follow the Word of God. Follow the Word of God, right? Pragmatism. Pragmatism is an approach that determines actions by the results that are desired. In other words, there's a desire, there's something that I want, so let me do anything I can to try to get that result, right? And what's happening, and even in our churches and our Christian circles today, we're being very, we're following pragmatism instead of following the Bible, instead of doing what God has said. If you determine the result that you want first, and then you decide the action that is needed to achieve that desired outcome. So let's say, for example, because again, this has even crept into our churches, if teaching the Bible attracts children to our Sunday schools or churches, we'll do that. But when teaching the Bible stops attracting children to our church, then guess what we do? We stop teaching the Bible. And we go to other programs. And we go to something else to try to bring them back. Why? Because the whole object, the whole means was not really to try to reach them for Jesus. The whole purpose was to try to get numbers to be able to say, look at how many we have. Right? And so instead, what we're doing is simply trying to, we have a goal that we have set, and we say, well, this is where we're going to go, and so we're going to do whatever we can to get there, no matter, even if it goes against Scripture. Even if we have to deny the Word of God, even if we have to, you know, say, you know, hey, and by the way, there's a reason why I believe he said that, Andy Stanley, because he's got a church of thousands and thousands of people. Many of them, I believe, are probably not even saved, and so to be able to keep that number, what does he have to do? He has to deny the Word of God. He has to deny the authority of Scripture to be able to say, if science and the Word of God conflict, and you just got to say, you can't deny science. Yeah, I can, if it goes against the Word of God. I can't deny science. Because if it goes contrary to God's Word, I don't care who put it in a journal, I don't care who wrote a thesis on it, if it goes contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. You say, well, who are you to say that? You don't have a PhD. I'm not saying it. God is. I'm not saying it. God said, this is the authority of Scripture. This, again, this is where we're trying to help our children learn to love the Bible, to love the Word of God, to stand on the Word of God. Not what some man says just because he's got a degree or because he teaches at a university or because you heard him on this YouTube channel, whatever. No. What does the Bible say? What does God say? Doesn't matter what anybody else says. And I think somebody mentioned this one as well. The third enemy to the authority of Scripture is man's opinion. Man's word. What I think is right. The Bible is often replaced by man's authority. I think it was just yesterday in our Bible reading, we were reading through, and it talks about how the Pharisees come up to Jesus and said, hey, how come your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? How come your disciples don't wash their hands? Now again, is it wrong? Is it bad to wash your hands before you eat? No, it's probably a good thing, right? I think we understand even in our society today, it's something good that you need to do, right? Germs and all that. But they're like, how come your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? And what does Jesus go through? And he says, wait a minute, hold on a second. You guys have created your own laws. You guys have created your own rules. You've set up your own rules and you have completely turned away from the things of God. You've created your own laws. You've created your own and totally turned away from the things of God. Now again, it's not wrong to wash your hands, but Jesus said, wait a minute, God never said this was a rule. God never said this was a law that you had to follow. You created this. You decided this. And you're more willing to follow this about washing hands than you are what God has said. And what happens is when our opinion and when our ideas become greater than the authority of Scripture, they become greater than God, we have a serious problem. And what is happening, and I'm just to be honest with you, in many of our Christian homes, we're teaching our children that what we say is more important than what God says. What we say is more important than what God says. Oh, I know God says we should read the Word, but we're not going to. I know God says we should be a witness to other people, but we're not going to. I know God says we ought to be in church, but we're not going to. I know God says we ought to be kind, and I know God says we ought to respond this way. I know God says we ought to love our neighbor. I know God says we ought to do these things, but we're just not going to do those things. And we are teaching our children that we have a greater authority than the Word of God does. I'm not talking about the lost. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians in our Christian homes, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. We're teaching our children that we have a greater authority than God's word does, because we're not willing to follow what God says. And what we're doing is simply we're teaching our children, we're teaching our teenagers, you don't need to follow God. You don't need to listen to what God says. You follow what you want, don't follow what you want. It's okay. I mean, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Does it really matter? Yeah, it does. It does matter. You see, in a biblical worldview, the ultimate authority belongs to God. It belongs to the Bible. It is to be the foundation of every area of life. I want you to turn to one passage with me and we'll be done. Go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Because what we find in Jeremiah chapter 5 is what I'm afraid is happening in many Christian homes and churches today. Jeremiah chapter 5. Notice what God says. A wonderful and horrible thing, and by the way, the word wonderful is not meaning it's a good thing. It means it's a bad thing. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. What is this horrible thing that is committed in the land? The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule, watch this, by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? What did he just say? What is this horrible thing that is being committed in the land? He said the prophets are prophesying falsely. The preachers are preaching the wrong things. They're prophesying and saying this is what God said when God didn't say it. Can I tell you something? When you have a preacher of thousands and thousands of people that stands up and says, if science and the word of God contradict, we got to follow science, that's wrong. It's wrong. He says, and the priests bear rule by their means. He says, the ones that are supposed to be leading spiritually, the ones that are supposed to be leading the people spiritually, they're just doing it by what they want it to be done, by what they think is right. They're not following God at all. And here's the dangerous part. And my people love to have it so. Oh, God says it's one thing for the priests and the Levites and the people to do it this way. But here's where the big problem is. He said, the problem is my people love it this way. God's people love to hear them preach false doctrine. They loved it that they weren't following the word of God. They loved it that they could live their life the way they want to live without having to worry about God. He said, my people have loved it so. And I'm afraid that what's happening in our churches and in our Christian homes is that man's word has become the authority instead of God's. And we have taught our children. Why do I hear so many times? You ask missionaries that come in, and I'm so thankful for our church, but you ask missionaries that come in, you ask them how many churches they go to where there are no children in the church. You ask them, what's the percentage? You ask people, why is it that so many churches have no young people? Because we have not taught them to have a love for the Word of God. And when we don't teach them to have a love for the Word of God, guess where they end up going? They go right to the world. They go there to get their answers instead of the Word of God. They go to the world to get their answers, to get their fulfillment, instead of following what God has said in His Word. And that's why it's so vital that we as parents and grandparents, we have to have a love of God first. We have to have a love for the Word of God first. Then we can help our children and our teenagers to love the Word of God. To go and say, hey, you want to know about a job? Let's look at Scripture and see what God says about having a good job and what it means to be a hard worker and what your boss ought to expect out of you as an employer or an employee. You want to know about marriage? Let's look in the Word of God. Let's see what the Bible says about marriage. Let's see what God says about it. You want to talk about a family? Let's see what the Bible says about a family. You want to talk? Let's just go through the Word of God. Find out what God says about these things. Let's help them have a good foundation. Because look, you and I both know when they get out in the world, the world's not going to be nice. And we're setting them up for failure by not teaching them to have a good foundation. And as parents and grandparents, we have a responsibility in the home, not just in the church. Look, I'm thankful for all the teachers that we have here, and they love the Word of God. They study it as best they can, and they teach the children to the things of God. I'm thankful for that. But look, it's not about what happens here. It's about what happens there in your home. That's where you've got to teach your children to have a love for God. That's where you've got to talk about the things and go to the Word of God and find out what the answers are. Help them to develop a love for the Bible. Help them to develop a high view of the Bible. It's not just another book. No, this is God's Word. It's not just when we pull it down whenever we want to. No. We ought to be in this book every single day. We ought to be talking about it. We ought to be learning from it. We ought to be getting the answers of life from this book. Help your children, your teenagers, to develop a love for the Word of God. Father, I pray, Lord, you help us in this. Lord, it's so vital, Lord, that we help our young people to learn to have a love for your Word. It's sad that there are so many Christian homes, Christian churches, that they've lost a high view of your Word. It's just something we can either take or dismiss. You know, it doesn't really matter. Lord, we think the men and women who have died just to have a small portion of your Word, and yet we just treat it like it's another book. Lord, I pray you'd help us individually, personally, as adults, as parents, as grandparents, Lord, to check our heart to see, do we have a love for the Word of God? Are we doing these things to show our love for the Word of God? And then, Lord, may we help to teach our children and our teenagers, our young people, to develop a love for the Word of God as well. That they can trust it, they can go to it. You've given us every answer that we need in your Word. Father, would you help us with this? I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're not going to stand tonight. The piano is just going to play softly this evening. Maybe parents, grandparents, again, it doesn't start with the young people and the children. It starts with us. Do you have a love for the Word of God? I'm not saying you got to be in it 10 hours a day, but do you have a love for it? A desire to be in it and read it, learn from it, go to it for the questions and answers of life. Do we teach our children to love it? Do we read it together? Study it together? Talk about it together? Do we memorize it? Meditate on it? Do we value it? We need to. If we're going to teach our children and our teenagers and young people to have a love for the Word of God, it has to begin with us first.